Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
And welcome to the 476th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my amazing co-host. We've got the one and only R Sigma.
I am awake.
Aren't we all? And we've also got the other amazing, as always, P. McGee.
I am even less awake. Hello.
I think we're all very tired right now. I don't think any of us slept, but welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name that we came up with in 2007. We talk everything from the video game to the trading card game to everything in between. Today is not an in-between day. Maybe it's a little bit in-between day. We'll see. And yeah, it's been a good time overall. It's been a good time. I have been procrastinating starting Players Cup. I haven't even started
Same.
Yet.
Same.
My dog got spayed, and so like you have to like take care of them when that happens.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a whole problem. So it's just a whole bag of worms, and she doesn't like being left alone. She's a little weenie. it's like the breed that we bought. They get nicknamed Velcro dogs because they just stick to you when they can. And so, and because she's also like puppy, because she's not even 6 months yet. She turns 6 months on the 24th. And so she just like sticks to you. She just follows you everywhere. It's absolute, like it's good for my wife who wanted a dog. She enjoys it because then the dog just like is just latched onto her, but it might be, it's a little too much sometimes. And it's just like having to constantly care for a baby. But yeah, it's a wonderful time. What have you guys been doing? What's up with you guys?
Not much. I've been spending the week doing trades on our TCGO account.
Hmm.
I got all the cool cards from Vivid Voltage and Full Art, like Full Art Pikachu V.
Yeah. Dude, I'm super scared of TCG right now. Mostly because for some reason, I'm still on Furbank City on Facebook. And
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I shouldn't be. Because, like, every time I go on there, it's just something about a card being ridiculously expensive. And it's not even like an old card. It's like a current card. And it's just because people are scalping the sets right now.
Yeah.
And it's this bubble that exists right now. Somebody tried to sell a Hidden Fates box for $12,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah. TCG in paper is disgusting right now. I'm kind of terrified for these things coming out this year. I get terrified.
I am genuinely worried that when it restarts, it's going to be bad. Because cards are going to be ridiculously overpriced, and people aren't going to want to play because they can't afford the cards. It's just, like, I can't imagine a world outside of, like, a Shaman deck and even then, like, if you were to play the most expensive deck when Shaman was really big and really hot, I still think you wouldn't pay more than $300 to build that deck.
Oh my God, that's still a ton of money.
Okay, so McGee, I don't know if you've played other TCGs.
No, I've never touched the TCG.
Okay, so if you play like Yu-Gi-Oh or Magic, that is incredibly good value, $300.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was going to say Magic usually runs $400 to $500, I think, for a standard deck.
Mm-hmm. Top
tier standard.
Yeah.
Modern goes like $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not talk about Legacy.
You invest in those cards like pretty heavily. In Pokemon, it's Legacy, way cheaper.
Oof. That's just wild to me.
Pokemon's way cheaper. I'm genuinely worried that Pokemon will no longer be that value TCG. Which is upsetting. I mean, because you could just back when you play, the difference also with Pokemon a lot is that a lot of the cards that get very expensive are typically very splashable.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you were to buy your four Shaman back when that was the card, you would still be like that. You've paid $200 for your four Shaman, but you can build a lot of decks that require four Shaman.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're paying like $50 supplemental to get the rest of the cards that you might need. And then that doesn't include like staple trainers that at the time, like Ultra Ball and stuff like that, which you typically run like a dollar or two.
Yeah, I remember Ultra Ball being like a dollar. Oh, God. Nowadays, they're like dirt cheap. Most cards are like 20 cents that you can find that aren't rares. And even the V cards were getting pretty cheap last I saw. But if they aren't like full arts or other.
Or Charizard.
Yeah, Charizard. Pikachu's got a following now, too.
I believe that.
Vivid Voltage's most expensive card is Rainbow Pikachu. Or
I believe
Max.
That.
Yeah.
I believe that. Rainbow cards look like trash. I'm just going to say. That's a hot take.
It's not much of a hot take.
But I think Rainbow cards look like trash.
I think I've seen a couple images. I did mute the TCG chat, though, so I don't really know what cards look like anymore.
Rainbow, so there's like different tiers of rarity for your V/VMAX/GX/EX cards now.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at a Volcarona one. Okay, I see.
So you've got like the standard one. You've got your standard issue rarity, which is just like big picture, and it's like, ooh, ah. And then you've got the full art version, which I think the full art versions are always the coolest.
Yeah.
Back in Sun and Moon, they were kind of like boring.
Sun and Moon, they were solid because it would just be like the solid color background.
Yeah, I got kind of bored of those. I really liked the way they did full arts once we hit Sword and Shield. They look much better now.
You know, the full arts now are just as good, I think. I think full arts now are very
The dynamic cool. background does a lot. Like, I got a bunch of full art Zeruds. They have, like, this weird blue and red background that looks sweet.
I like full arts. I just like full arts are where it's at. And then the tier after that is Rainbow Rare, which is quote-unquote secret rare, because those numbers are always the ones outside of the set numbers. It'll be like card 152 out of 140. Well, like, if a set was ever that small again.
I mean, full arts are the same way, but yeah.
Are full arts treated? Yeah, full arts are the same way, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I guess in the new sets coming out, we have altered arts coming back too. They've been gone for like a year.
Yeah.
It's where the art is doing something else completely. Like, oh, okay.
And then sometimes you get like gold cards.
Yeah, gold cards are nice.
You get gold
but
cards.
They're usually reserved for legendaries of the series, so.
Yeah, so it'll be like Zacian and Zamzenta if you get those. But yeah, the
Eternatus is coming soon.
Those are your standard rarities. I think full arts are definitely cooler, the coolest of all of them.
I agree.
I like full arts better than I like rainbow rares. Rainbow rares look like hot garbage.
I don't think it looks like hot garbage. It's not my favorite. But
yeah, I still think the full arts look better, and I don't understand the fascination with people getting rainbow rares other than being like, I got a rainbow rare. I don't know. It's kind of like showing off your shiny Garchomp, you know?
It's true.
Nobody really cares.
Shiny Garchomp.
Like, that's the example I use. Like, shiny Garchomp.
That was the most infuriating thing about Black 2, when I went through all that trouble to get Shiny Gibble when I was younger. I was so excited. And then, I think Gabite looks a little different, and then you get to Garchomp, and it's just, it's painful.
Yeah, Gibble looks different. Gibble's got a nice coloring, I think. Shiny Gibble's pretty. And then Garchomp's barely any difference.
That was tragic.
I hate that they let that happen.
Yeah.
Because especially now they absolutely custom design shiny sprites or shiny forms now. Like, it's no longer a palette swap. Which is nice. I think that's really nice because at least they take the time to look at the Pokemon and be like, what would look good?
Yeah.
My favorite still to this day is probably Crabrawler. I love Crabrawler, by the way. He's one of my favorite Gen 7 Pokemon, and I'm upset that he's still not in Sword and Shield.
It's just terrible. It's like one of the just terrible at typing. It's fun.
Oh, it's a terrible Pokemon. It's a terrible Pokemon. So, like a lot of the Pokemon that I really like aren't in Sword and Shield, and it upsets me. Like, there are a lot of Pokemon. Because, like, if I had to make, like, a top six list, like, Thatch's Dream Party, I thought about this the other day. I'm like, what would Thatch's top six party look like? Well, one, Feraligatr's got to be there, right? So, well, that one's gone. Electivire has to be there. Finally showed up, thank God. He's there. I really like Yanmega. I don't care what anybody has to say. Yanmega's really...
I enjoy Yanmega. That was one of the first ones I ever EV trained.
Yanmega's sweet. I love Yanmega.
Yeah, I like Yanmega. So, I mean, this is all from, like, design and just, like, Thatch's nostalgia feel-good things.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Yanmega, not in Swish. I really like, who else was it? Oh, my gosh. There's so many. The other thing I was thinking of, if I were to have to choose, like, a runner-up starter, I would have to say Greninja. Like, I'm selling out. I really like Greninja.
I do, too. He's my favorite starter.
He's probably, after Feraligatr, my favorite starter. And he's not there, which is upsetting. It's just the Pokemon that I'm missing. Like, I really like Crabominable and Crabrawler as well. Those are probably my favorite Gen 7 Pokemon. Those are the ones that are still missing.
I mean, getting Crabominable was actually, like, really cool at the time because I didn't realize that. Like, I just was stuck with this Crabrawler for an eternity, not being sure how it evolved.
Yeah.
I really like their retcons to stuff like that now, though. Where they would just be like, oh, well, now you just use an Ice Stone and it's fine.
He just has to show up in the game.
Or was he Hail or was he Ice Rock? That's the next
question. No, he was the Mountain, I thought.
Oh, he was the... Okay, so it was Location. Yeah. So since it's Location...
Yeah, he was infuriating because you get Crabrawler so early and you can't do anything with it until the very end. And Crabrawler sucks.
Yeah.
Not that Crabrawler was much better, but...
Yeah, I still like it. Design-wise, I really like Crabrawler.
I like the Crabrawler design.
Yeah, I like it. I'm thinking more design-wise. Like, these are just, like, Pokemon Thatch likes, not Pokemon that are good.
Yeah.
In terms of Pokemon that are good, I don't think I'm really missing anybody. Like, I like Electivire. Electivire's not good anymore. It was good for maybe a year in its existence. Then Team Preview happened.
Yeah, I got lucky from the deal. The DLC was kind to me, because I got Gridley and Mian Chao, so...
Mm-hmm. These are some of my favorites, and infuriating is the wrong word. It's sad that they're not around. I'm kind of hoping after we talk a little bit today, maybe we'll get to see them again.
Yes.
But this is a good place to stop. We'll wrap it up here. We got some news to talk about, so we're going to kick it on over, guys, to the news. Let's cue that epic music.
Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a few things to talk about, a few. A new Pokemon Snap trailer was released and has come with a bunch of information from the press releases. It's actually really crazy and cool. So Pokemon Snap, for those of you who are unaware, is coming out April 30th. They've announced the release date, April 30th. You can now pre-order it on the eShop as well if you want to. The game is going to be 6.8 gigabytes. Sword and Shield without DLC was 10 gigabytes for reference. So it's not as big as Sword and Shield. I didn't expect it to be.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks beautiful, though, from the trailers. Like, it looks really, really, really pretty.
Oh, it looks really good. It looks really, really good. I also found it really fun that they were showing off, like, hey, here's a Meganium.
That was, like, one of the most shocking ones.
They made Meganium, like, really hype in that. Two Cannon and Pikachu and Vivillon. I like Vivillon a lot just because of the designs.
Yeah, Vivillon makes a ton of sense for this game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited about Vivillon in this game. Meganium looked really, really cool. There's like, we don't know a lot yet, but a lot of the little bits of information we're getting and the little screenshot or little images and...
Let me see if I can pull up the press release. I should have done this before, but we're going to the Lentil region.
Lentil region, yeah.
So the name is Professor Mir, which is upsetting because how cool would it have been if he would have been called Professor Snap and he's just an older Todd Snap?
That would have been the proper one.
Okay, I think it's a missed opportunity that they messed up. Oh,
extremely.
Dodrio's also in this game.
Well, that's fitting because like the first one you see in the originals is Doduo, right? Or maybe it's Spearow and Pidgey first or whatever it was.
Yeah, the Doduo just like jumps right in front of you.
Yeah.
Dude, original Pokemon Snap, I still think original Pokemon Snap is a good game.
It's a great 4 hours. It's a very good 4 hour set.
Four to 6 hours, I think it takes to beat it all. I'm hoping that this one's a little bit meatier.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They can add, like, missions and things, like, to accomplish. Like, take so many photos of, like, find all, like, whatever. Like, maybe there's, like, five different Meowth in, like, a route, and you have to get photos of them all or something like that.
The Galarian Meowth, the Sinnoh Meowth, the Alolan Meowth, the regular Meowth. Skitty will totally be there. Why not?
Maybe Skitty will be there. Hoenn and Meowth. It'll be great.
I think this is the reason to have these kinds of games. I don't know. It's very good. Yeah, it's the Lentil region with Professor Mir. I hate that it's called Professor Mir.
It has a better chance of showing up in the photo game than any other game. So.
And they're going to have a photo dex. Apom's also in this game, by the way. Apom.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with it. It's just, like, we found all the Pokemon that were missing in Sword and Shield. They all went to Pokemon
this
Snap.
This is good.
There's also going to be, I think they said you can take pictures of over 200 Pokemon, which is actually really
cool.
That's
a good number.
Yeah, the first game, I think, had, like, 60 Pokemon in it.
That's like four times the number from the first game. So, yeah, cool.
Yeah, just over 60 Pokemon. So this one's going to have a crazy number. I wouldn't be surprised if this has different customization for routes. Like, Joe Merrick has been posting about it on Twitter because he needed to do something other than complain about Pokemon Go. When he was talking about it, he was mentioning that he saw, like, day-night differences, and he's wondering if that's a cycle that you can play with. Like, you can go to different courses at night versus during the day. And you get different shots.
Yeah.
You design a course once and do little changes to it based on the time of day you go.
Yeah, you can just fill it differently. And I think that's 100% the way that, from a development standpoint, I would do it.
Oh, yeah. It extends how much content you have. It's nice. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of hoping that it works with the Labo camera, yeah. But it won't. You know, I'm more upset because this game would have been way better for the Wii U than anything.
Oh my
else.
God, it made so much sense on the Wii U. I was truly surprised it never showed up there. I mean, maybe they just gave up production for all things on the Wii U at a certain point.
I was more upset when during an interview they asked if they were going to ever do another Pokemon Snap, and they're like, we don't know what we could do differently. And this game is going to be 100% the exact same game as the original Pokemon Snap, with just maybe some improved features. And the Wii U's one where you could actually play it differently. Like, you could just pick up the gamepad and use it as the camera. I firmly believe that new Pokemon Snap with that kind of control option on the Wii U could have almost saved the Wii U.
No, almost.
I'm going to use almost. I'm going to say almost.
Did they ever get a Pokemon game on the Wii U? I don't know that they did.
Rumble?
Oh, God.
Rumble?
That's
Pokemon Rumble, you.
Ruby and Sapphire Pinball on the Virtual Console.
They did, and I bought it, and I own it, and I played a lot of it, actually.
God, I love those games.
That game is better than Explorers of Sky, but, like...
Whoa, okay.
It's the best side game.
I'm not going to agree with you on that one, Sigma.
That's okay.
To agree with you.
It's still a really good side game.
This is true.
There's a lot of good games on the Wii U in general. Well, no, actually, that's a lie. Never mind. The Wii U's problem was that it had no games.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of a definitive Wii U title anymore, especially now that they've all come to Switch.
3D World's looking
3D
real
World
good,
was
so.
Good, and now it's coming to Switch. Did it drop already? When does it drop? It drops very soon.
If it drops in a month.
Is it in a month?
It's the 12th next
so it's
month.
Just a, okay, because yeah, I was going to say, I can't even think of like a definitive Wii U title at this
Nintendo
point.
Nintendo Land.
Mm. Like, nothing that makes me go, oh man, okay, I need to go back to the Wii U to play that.
There's Zelda remakes, I guess.
If we're unlucky, they will just give those to us on Switch next month.
Hopefully they package them together.
Yeah, there we go. That's Pokemon Snap. It's exciting. I'm hyped to play it. I'm going to play it. Everybody else is going to play it.
I'm enjoying this new trend they're doing of like early year Pokemon like side game releases. I think that's a good model going forward.
I really like that this came out alongside of DX.
Yeah, because that came out like last March or something like that. So like the first 4 months of the year.
I think this is a sentiment that I hold, and I know Oshawott on the Discord server also holds. Is that we've really missed having true video game spin-offs for Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Like, they haven't really been a thing since probably around the Gen 4 era. You haven't really had true video game spin-offs, especially since Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
right?
It's been dead since Go.
Like, even before then, I think, they had issues. I would say Pokemon Shuffle is where the beginning of the end of spin-off games happened. Pokemon Shuffle came out, and then they just kind of went, they're like, oh, let's go with this mobile model, and then they came out with Pokemon Go.
Picross was fun, though.
Yeah.
Picross went with a mobile-ish model, and I understand that. It's Picross.
Well, the thing was, Picross, you eventually spent enough to just be like, here's the game. If you spent $30, you got the game, essentially.
Absolutely. They just end up charging you $30 for it if you wanted to pay for it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm happy they're doing these games again. I'm hopeful that if they keep doing it, they'll take a stab at something new. Because like you said, we haven't seen a new... Especially if you think about it, Mystery Dungeon came out Gen 3 era. Rangers died a long time ago.
I really enjoyed the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. Never have played a Mystery Dungeon game thoroughly. I really enjoyed DX. I finished the story. I didn't rank up or anything afterwards, but I beat the main story, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. I thought it was very good. And I tried playing Explorers of Sky a little bit, just to get my feet wet with it. But the problem is, like, playing it on the DS just isn't the same as being able to play it on the Switch. Mm-hmm.
The controls have become a little more cumbersome, especially because it's very streamlined on DX.
Exactly. And so I think I might try to buy it on Wii U and then think about it. See how I feel after that, just because then maybe the controls aren't as, like, weird.
The supporting characters for Explorers of Sky is just so much more exciting, because it's really just you and, like, a couple of characters in the original. But Explorers of Sky has, like, all these, like, secondary and tertiary characters. You can do, like, these extra side quests from the main menu. Mm-hmm. It's like Black and White. There's just a lot you can do. I appreciate those games.
I agree with that. All right, let's move on to the next piece of news.
Yeah, more Original Stitch stuff is coming out. So we got Grookey, Sobble, and Scorbunny. They kind of skipped ahead a little bit because I think they were just getting started with Gen 3, but they wanted to get these ones out as well, mm-hmm. because relevancy. Mm-hmm.
Yep, it makes me happy that they just came out with those as well. If they're just coming out with Gen 8 stuff in other places, that means that Gen 8's probably not over yet.
Yes.
That is my number one fear this year. My number one fear is that Gen 9 happens, and I become very sad.
That'd be a new record.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been less than 3.
Yeah, but they've also never done a lot of the things that they've done.
This is true.
Ever since, I think, like, Gen 7, there's just no more rules. I digress. Move on to the next one, Sigma.
Mm-hmm. European players who signed up for this Rude giveaway via the newsletter should have gotten their codes this past week.
I'm more upset that they're making you get the code and through hoops than just, like, here's the code.
They were thoughtful. You have till March 31st to redeem it.
Getting the Pokemon without middle steps. That's something I've noticed has been happening lately as a trend. Like, you either have to, like, go to GameStop and get a scratch-off code, or you have to go somewhere else to go get a code. I'm not a big fan of that distribution method.
No, not at all.
All right, so video game battling news, there is none. Players' Cup's happening. Next week we'll get some rules, probably. All right, Pokemon Go news, though. The Hoenn Celebration event will be happening January 19th through the 24th, and will feature different various Pokemon, albeit mostly common Hoenn Pokemon. Breloom, Mawile, Grumpig, Spinda, and Absolon 3-star raids. Bagon amongst the options for 1-star raids. And there's going to be timed research for Groudon and Kyogre, and completing them will allow you to get a Rayquaza with the exclusive charge move, Hurricane.
I hear you have to catch two of each.
Oh, God.
You have to catch two Groudon and Kyogre? What?
Within the week.
And a completely side note, Hurricane always makes me think of the Bob Dylan song. Anytime that happens, I don't know if anybody's ever watched me stream, like, when we use Hurricane, I always sing the Bob Dylan song. The Bob Dylan song's where it's at. I recommend it. Don't stop listening to this podcast right now, but after the podcast, go to your Spotify account and type in Hurricane Bob Dylan. Take a good listen. All right. I forget who's purple. I think it's P. Mickey today. You get the community day.
Yeah. So we've got a very exciting community day for next month. It'll be on February 7th, and it'll be Roselia.
What did you say? Very exciting?
With a lot of sarcasm.
Okay.
The most interesting thing is if you evolve it into Roserade during the event, it actually gets 2 special moves in Bullet Seed and Weather Ball. And then they're doing a good thing still with time research to get Sinnoh Stones, because you need those for getting Roserade, and then you can do some paid research as well for extra candies.
Yeah,
yay.
It's dumb. I think Roselia is kind of dumb. I did hear something about them saying, oh, we heard your feedback on Community Day Pokemon being kind of lame.
So this is their, this is them listening?
Well, I'm really upset that they went off, like, the beat of starters, because that was a really good way to get a lot of the starters, because starters are very rare and hard to find. Typically.
And they're hard to catch. It's just like a real pain in the butt to catch them and go through that whole process to be able to knock it out in 1 hour and be done with them forever. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
And starters are typically some of the favorite Pokemon anyway.
Yeah, it's a win-win all around. Mm-hmm. Also, I would love if they go to Gen 6 and just do Froakie, because I haven't seen one yet. But
I mean, they still haven't even done Gen 5 yet, so.
I know.
That's upsetting. Okay. All right. And in Puckle news, we have 2 streaming nights. Make sure to stop by on Tuesday and Thursday over at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast to catch what's going on. I'm on Tuesdays doing an XY Nuzlocke.
And then I'll be this coming Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday nights are just smorgasbord. We're also doing this episode, is probably the first announcement, if you don't follow us on social media, to learn that you can win a free copy of new Pokemon Snap, digital copy of Pokemon Snap from Puckle. We're doing a giveaway. It's over on the Twitter. It'll be in the show notes. You do have to enter by doing some social media tasks and stuff like that, but it's free entry once you do that, and you can get a chance to win a digital copy of new Pokemon Snap. We're very excited for that. Also, UUTC is happening soon. We should probably do that.
Once we get the rules, we'll have signups open. That's how it is.
We're waiting for the rules, and then we'll announce it. All right. And on that note, that is everything in the news. We're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer five Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Thank you for that introduction, Mark. Welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz. We're going to quiz both Sigma and P. McGee on their insane Pokemon knowledge today. As always, thank you to Anime Gravy for being your one-stop shop for all of your nerdy needs. You can go over to animegravy.com, pick up some cool anime or nerdy-related art, and you get a 20% off discount by typing in the code PokeQuiz at checkout. So definitely check that out when you get a chance. All right, so let's jump into it. Your first question this week is going to come from Sari. In the games, which generation is the only generation to not have a Pokemon Academy / school?
In the game. So Gen 8 comes to mind. I know Gen 7 is brutal, like miserable. So it's obviously not Gen 7. I remember it in Gen 3. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember it in Gen 4 as well, but I feel like it's in Jubilife.
No, that's definitely in Jubilife. There's no way it's not.
I don't remember it Johto. In 5 either. I feel like Johto has one.
No, because Gen 5 had Black... I mean, I don't know. The first gen was kind of like a... Black 2, White 2 was the first gen like a training school kind of?
I guess it kind of was.
With Sharon.
I suppose it was. Because even outside was like a little recess area, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like... It might be Gen 1. I think all the teaching stuff was like just on a blackboard in Celadon. I don't even think it was a school.
What about Gen 8? Was there one in there?
You know what? I don't think so.
I don't feel like I remember one in Gen 8. I just played that one.
I've been in a lot of buildings in Gen 8, and I can't say I don't remember a school among them. So
yeah, I can't think of one. I mean, I feel like maybe if we count remakes and stuff for... Gen 1, like Let's Go and something like that, or Fire Red, Leaf Green, there might be one have tossed in at some point.
Maybe. Like I said, I remember everything being written on like a board in Celadon.
I remember the board you're talking about. And
yeah, it's in the same house as Eevee, yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird that everything's taught to you so late in the game, but...
I'm torn between the two. I'll default to you.
I think it'll be Gen 8. Because right, maybe we'll count then. Maybe we count the anime school.
Gen 8 is correct. There is a Pokemon school in every other generation but Generation 8. There is one in Viridian City in Kanto, Violet City in Johto, Rustboro City in Hoenn, Jubilife City in Sinnoh, Striton City in and Eshpercha City in Unova, Santaloon City in Kalos, and Route 1 in Alola, unfortunately.
Yeah, I usually skip those.
All right. So, their next question is going to be from Poliwoe. Oh, actually, it's not going to be from Poliwoe. We already talked about this today. This next question is going to be from Spike. What is the only Pokemon able to learn more than one hit KO move, more than one one-hit KO move by level up specifically?
Oh, no. My answer would have been Lapras otherwise.
Okay, so who can learn multiple? Lapras can, obviously.
Yeah, but I think...
Something like Rhyperior?
That's what I was wondering. Mandrill
and Fissure?
Rhyperior comes to mind. The other... Let's see. Does anything learn Guillotine that learns something else? I don't think so.
No. Well, then if we're talking like Rhyperior, there's also things like
it might be Walrein. It might be Walrein.
Walrein with like Sheer Cold and Horndrill?
No, it has I know it has like Fissure and Sheer Cold, and I don't think it would be from what is it? Eggmoo, but I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of options. I don't know Eggmoo very well, so I don't know what gets it by Eggmoo and what gets it by level up.
I know Lapras gets a bunch from Eggmoo. I think it gets two of them from Eggmoo.
Okay, then probably not Lapras.
Yeah, I think it's Horndrill and Fissure from Eggmoo.
I'll trust you. Need an answer. I really have no idea.
I'll go Walrein, I think.
Walrein is unfortunately incorrect. You almost had it. The answer was Excadrill.
Ah.
Excadrill learns Horndrill. Both Horndrill and Fissure, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I don't think sensible. Of him too much. As
and
lunch.
You were right. Lapras can learn the most one-hit KO moves of any Pokemon, excluding Smeargle. But it only learns Sheer Cold via level up, and Fissure and Horndrill come in as egg moves.
Yeah.
All right, so your next question is your Pokedex entry question. You can get up to 2 points on here, depending on how many entries I have to read you. But let's see. Our question is going to come from Kaking7201. Its Pokemon Moon entry reads, "This Pokemon's present infests televisions and monitors with creepy shadows that bring bad luck. Who's that Pokemon?"
Say that again, sorry?
"This Pokemon's presence infests televisions and monitors with creepy shadows that bring bad luck. Who's that Pokemon?" This is from Pokemon Moon.
Okay.
You know what's sad is I really want it to be Rotom, but I'm pretty sure Sun and Moon desk.
Yeah,
it wasn't
it's
either Sun and Moon decks. It
despite
was a,
it being
it was a Pokefinder Pokemon.
Whatever it is.
It was a
that's weird.
Yeah, it was a Pokefinder Pokemon, so it wasn't in either Dex.
Okay. Oh. Rotom seemed almost too obvious too, considering how you first encounter it ever in Pokemon. So I didn't think it was Rotom, but what
actually are there even that many ghosts that it would be?
I mean there's like the Ghastly line, but I don't think it's them. Maybe it is. I mean there's a whole thing about like Gengar, I don't know.
In the shadow, yeah.
I'm trying to think what other
there was an entire ghost gym leader, or there was an entire ghost Elite Four member, but, you know, it doesn't seem like the Anchor, it doesn't seem like Mimikyu, it doesn't seem like Palossand.
No, it doesn't Frostlass seem like any of the ones from
doesn't
7.
Seem like Frostlass, so I think it might just be a Gengar line Pokemon.
I can believe that, like a Haunter or a Ghastly or something.
Like, it's not going to be the Pumpkin, it's not going to be Trevenant.
Trevenant, yeah. Mistress is the only other ghost that like maybe is worth considering, but I don't think I'm sure.
I don't think that was in Moon
Pokedex entries.
I don't think that was in Moon.
Yeah, so I'm fine with we know the Haunter lines or the Ghastly lines in there.
Yeah,
I'm fine with it.
Which one though? Lean Haunter.
I feel like Haunter is a good.
All pick. Right, second Pokedex all entry right. time. Its Pokemon Sword entry reads: using its psychic power, this Pokemon levitates as it sleeps, using its springy tail as a pillow.
Okay.
It's springy tail?
It's psychic powers and springy tail.
That's like Spoink, but it can't be Spoink.
Spoink isn't in the game.
As I say, it can't be Spoink, but that's what it sounds like to me. Well, shoot.
What has a springy tail?
Bounces on its tail. That's the only ghost electric is Rotom, but it's not Rotom.
Let's see. I was going to say maybe Kadabra, but I don't remember if Abra's even in Sun and Moon.
I feel like, yeah, because the first thing you get is Alakazamite for,
yeah,
like,
but you get
Z Crystals. Or not Z Crystals, Mega Stones.
Oh, maybe he is. In the- oh, yeah, he would be in the game then, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but I don't know. It seems like weird about the shadow leaving, but I have no idea. I'm out of ghosts. I can't think of any more ghosts that it could be.
It's not a ghost at this point. I think it's a psychic with the dark part to it. I don't know.
Spiritomb? Probably not Spiritomb.
No.
I don't think Spiritomb has a tail to bounce on.
I don't think it's levitating either.
That's true.
Actually, it kind of does levitate. But yeah, I don't.
I'm going to need an answer.
Yikes. You go for it, Sigma. I have no idea.
I guess we're going Kadabra. I don't know.
What did you say? Kadabra?
Kadabra.
Kadabra is correct.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah, way. That is a point for you guys there, though.
That's the only bouncy tail I could think of that's not Spoink, so.
That is correct. All right, your next question is your multiple choice question. Since you've gotten a question wrong, you can get up to 3 points here. All right. So, This one is going to be from Trevster. There are five answers. You get 1 point for the first two. You get, and then you get all 3 points if you get all five. And so let's see. I will give you two strikes and then you're out. So you can guess as long as you want. Three strikes and you're out. Yep, that's what we're going to do. So in Gen 8, there are five special moves that can make contact. What are they?
Grass Knot.
Grass Knot is definitely one of them. Yeah.
That is correct.
Draining Kiss is another.
You have to let me know if you're going to submit these, by the way.
Draining Kiss, I'm submitting. I know for a fact.
That is correct. That is 1 point for you guys so far.
Shoot.
Do we want a hint?
I feel like we have a better chance at base stat, so I'm of agreeance.
Okay, so of the three you're missing, one is a grass type move. I believe it's introduced in Generation 1. One is, I think this is a poison type move. It was introduced in Generation 8. And then the other one is a bug type move, which I think was introduced in Generation 6. Let me double check that.
Poison type move that was very recent.
Very, very recent. Like more recent than other poison type moves in Generation 8.
Yeah. So what Pokemon were added to the game that got new moves? Because it's not Corrosive Gas. That's not the move. It's not from Isle of Armor.
That's not a special move either.
It was introduced in Isle of Armor, though.
Oh, it's Sidearm.
Shell Sidearm. Okay. Yeah.
That is correct. That is three.
So we got a Gen 6 bug move. What bug moves are special?
Introduced in Gen 6.
It's not.
Let me double check to make sure that this came out in Gen 6 and it didn't come out earlier. It was a TM in Gen 6, if that makes you feel better.
Oh, is it?
It's a TM. Fel Stinger, that's physical.
I already have it in the Nuzlocke.
Is it Infestation?
Oh, it would be Infestation. Yep.
Infestation is correct.
And then a Gen 1 grass
type. That is
type two.
The last one is a Gen 1 move, a grass type.
Not
Razor Leaf. We're not counting something like Vine Whip that used to be special, but now
it's special, right? No. They're special now.
Okay.
Yes. I don't know if I can give away any more hints other than I'll give you some Pokemon that learn it via level up. Venusaur learns it via level up. Vileplume learns it via level up. Meganium learns it via level up.
There's
Blossom.
Is it Petal Blizzard?
Oh, it would be Petal Blizzard.
Is Petal Blizzard a move?
It is a move. Or you're thinking Petal Dance.
Yeah, the other Petal.
There is a Petal Blizzard move.
Petal Blizzard came out in Generation 7, so I would be careful.
Yeah, it's an outrage. It's a grass outrage.
Yeah, that's Petal Dance. That is correct. That is all 3 points for you guys. So you guys are up to 5 points today? Yeah? Yeah. That's what we're going to go with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next one is your base stat question, as always. This is going to be from Jeremy, and he wants to know, what psychic type has the lowest special attack of all psychic type Pokemon?
Very physical psychic type Pokemon. Abra still would be crazy high, even as an Abra, so it's not that.
It might be Defense Form Deoxys. That's pretty low.
Defense Form Deoxys is a good one to keep in mind.
That's a 20.
It's 20?
I think so.
I thought it had a little
bit. It does not have attacking stats. It does not have offensive stats. Is there a psych? Oh no. Is it Dottler?
Dottler. Wait, Dottler's worse. Oh, Bullbug's not psychic. Okay, so Dottler's bad. It wouldn't be Cosmog, would it?
I mean, Cosmog
can only splash, so it doesn't really.
It can
have
only
stats.
Splash, so I don't know what it's. I don't know any of its stats.
I don't know its stats.
I know its stat total isn't worse than Wishiwashi, though. So it's probably got balanced stats, right?
Yeah, probably. Maybe a little more in HP, but. I can't think of it.
Because Cosmo might even be up there too, but I.
It's 131s in the defense.
I don't think it would be 20, so.
Can't think of any other bad psychic types. I feel like Deoxys is a safe bet, but I don't think it's 20s. I feel like it's higher, I don't think it's as badly spread as like attack form is, but maybe I'm wrong.
I just remember having like no damaging potential.
Yeah, I mean, seismic toss is when it attacks. Like, that's what mm-hmm. it does.
Like, Speedform's the one that got balanced-ish. Like,
I mean,
didn't go
ish.
Below 50, I think.
I'll trust you if you want to go defense form. I mean, if you think it's that, I can't think of anything below 20.
I think it is.
20. So
I want to find out what it is if it's not defense form, so.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Defense form, Deoxys is your answer. It is unfortunately incorrect. The correct answer is why not?
Duh.
Base yep. 23 special attack, followed up by Bronzor with base 24.
Why is Bronzor
24.
So low?
Both Cosmoem and Cosmog have 29, and then Wobbuffet with 33.
Huh.
Yeah, fun fact. So that gives you guys 5 points today, and that does not change up the trivia score whatsoever. You guys are tied for first with Whimsicott, and everybody else has yet to get on the board.
Yeah.
We're just gonna... Yeah. Tune in next week for more Puckle's Poke Quiz. Until then, we're gonna take a short break and then kick it on over to the topic. We will catch you guys on the flip-flop. Hey, make sure you check out Puckle's giveaway for a copy of Pokemon Snap. We're giving away 3 of them, and if you would like some extra entries to that, use code PUCKLESNAP to get 30 extra entries to the contest. Make sure you do that. Once again, PUCKLESNAP, PUCKLSANAP. And I hope you guys win. Good luck. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is, I guess, all of the quote-unquote leaks and releases. Pokemon 25's happening.
Woo.
It's an exciting time. I mean, I don't think anything that we have quote-unquote leaked is going to be confirmed to be true until probably the 20. I'm going to say the 26th at this point, because mm-hmm. I don't know that they're going to drop a direct on a Saturday.
It's either going to be the 26th or 27th. It'll be the 27th in Japan.
26th of February,
yeah,
to be fair.
27th in Japan.
Yeah, we'll know by the 27th for sure. I think the 26th is when they'll drop like their direct or whatever, their direct equivalent. And I got more hopeful when I saw that the Pokemon Snap trailer came out this week,
mm-hmm.
because if they're going to drop the Pokemon Snap trailer this early,
they've got something
else. That means that they've got something else.
And hopefully it's not Detective Pikachu.
Detective Pikachu is the biggest... Oh my gosh, that would be the biggest flop.
mm-hmm.
Like, that's literally announcing Detective Pikachu and like trying to make that the quote-unquote headliner of that direct would be such a big misstep. Because it's literally last summer all over again with one, like, the Pokemon Mega Evolution announcement, and then you see, like, the Pokemon Go logo and everybody immediately got depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, announcing, like, there's going to be another Direct next week, and then we get Pokemon Unite. Oh, man. There's so many ways they could mess this up.
Oh, we might find out more about that on the 26th.
Oh, we probably will. Like, the beta's been going pretty strong.
I think they just started phase 2 of the beta or something in China right now, so.
The beta's been happening. I haven't heard if it's actually a good game or not.
There's a gameplay out there right now.
Yeah, there's some gameplay somewhere, but it's just like, I don't know. Like, I'm not a MOBA person to begin with. I'll definitely dabble in this one when it happens. I will legitimately, if they put it at Worlds, I will grind hard on it with other people because the bar will be set so low.
This is true.
For people to be good at that game.
Yeah.
It's like Pokken.
Yeah, it'll be like Pokken, except realistically I could be good at it.
I wonder what gets to Worlds first, Pokemon Go, Battle League, or Unite?
That's a good question. I think Pokemon Go is a less exciting way to go. One, because I don't think they could do something like stream it very well, mm-hmm. because the connectivity issues are absolutely a huge problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of issues with Go Battle League. So I think that's a huge, huge problem that they're going to need to encounter and go over before they decide, like, hey, let's make this on that level. I think Unite's a very easy thing to just be like, yeah, we have PCs hooked up, let's go. It's just an eSport. People have done this before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not even PCs. You can play it on Switch, right? So just here's your Switch. Play your Pokemon Unite.
Or do they drop Pokken first? Like, that's the other question.
Oh, they'll probably drop Pokken, let's be honest. And we'll go Unite. I'm all for it. I'll make jerseys. We'll have Puckle jerseys. And it'll be great.
Team Puckle. I like
Team
it.
Puckle. We'll have Puckle jerseys. I'll do it. It'll happen. Quote me. Like, call me on it if I don't say anything. I will absolutely do it. But there were some other leaks this week that came out. One being that, leaks. I'm going to put leaks in quotes very heavily. The only thing that I did see was that diamondandpearl.pokemon.com was enabled.
For a little bit.
For like a hot second.
It got spotted, and then they did something else with it.
That domain was enabled. There were other ones that weren't resolved, such as blackwhitepokemon.com, rubysapphire.pokemon.com. I don't like that they call it diamondpearl.pokemon.com. I wouldn't call that... I don't know. Like, if that's the evidence that they're using for, hey, Diamond and Pearl remakes are happening, I don't want to buy it.
Further backing it, but...
Yeah, I think there's other things that are probably backing it before that, but if that is the only evidence for it, I do not agree with it, because they could just be setting up like a bunch of pages because it's the 25th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that accidentally got clicked the wrong way because it got disabled immediately afterwards. I don't know. I take that with a grain of salt if that is their only thing. This is all from Centro Pokemon Leaks on Twitter. Mm-hmm. They do have an article on their website about it as well. It's all in Spanish. Let me put it into Google Chrome so that I can actually translate it. I use Firefox because I don't like Google trying to steal my information. Translate to English, please. They literally have nothing. They're just speaking with confidence. They say that they have nearby sources that they think that they're getting it from. So
the grain of salt, I think we were talking about this off air, is like Central, like they've made a big play in Generation 8 as being like one of the front runners for calling leaks.
They're trying to be.
And this is so they're making a very definitive call before anyone else. And so part of it, in our consideration, is that they probably just want to reassert themselves more as like the main place for leaking. And this is a very easy prediction to make.
There's a couple of quote unquote predictions that they've made in the past couple months since the release of Crown Tundra, that because they started getting a lot of traction around Crown Tundra because they were the first to data mine home to like see Calyrex's forms and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing was, Home's update wasn't even out when they posted those either. Like, that's...
So they were the first ones to do that. So, I mean, that's where they really got their traction. But there's a lot of places where you can see, I don't know, the description that I would give it is they're trying very hard. They are trying incredibly, incredibly hard. One of the things they did after Crown Tundra, they're just like, oh man, if you don't like what Mario was doing, you won't like what Pokemon's doing.
They quote tweeted somebody else. That was the leaker Kelios.
That's the other one. Okay, never mind. They had something else, though, that was similar to that. And they ended up trying to put it on like, oh, well, we were talking about the dual pack with the DLC included with the game, blah, blah, blah. And it was like very vague. The more recent one that they did was they tried to highlight Skiri's M. He's a prominent data miner in the Pokemon community. And I guess just the Nintendo community in general. And he recently like dug up some stuff that found that may or may not be evidence for a Switch Pro coming. They made a tweet about an article like claiming that the Switch Pro was coming, and Skiri's M apparently contacted them and was like, whoa, 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 guys. I did not say that. And they've like since made an amendment because of that. So they do have a history of being quote unquote bold.
So that's a consideration as well.
I would say just take that into consideration. They do like to be very bold. The one thing I did find very interesting that's outside of like the Diamond and Pearl remake shenanigans that are going on was that at the same time another domain was activated as the Diamond and Pearl one. It's called legends.pokemon.com. That got activated, and that's very cool. I don't know what that is because it's not like a video game or anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
I find that very, very interesting and very, very cool because I really like the idea of I can see it being two things, and you can disagree with me, Sigma or P. McKee. I'd be interested to see if you have any thoughts on that. I think one, it could be, hey, here's your Super Mario collection, right, of Pokemon games. Here's Gens 1, 2, and maybe 3 for you to play.
Things that worked on a single screen so we don't have to put work. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can only dream so much. So, like, here's that. That's very cool. Let's play with that. I think it could also, and probably more realistically, be just like a repeat of what they did for the 20th anniversary, where they dropped a mythical a month for you to go pick up. And yeah. I could see it being something like that. The only problem I see with that right now is not a lot of those mythicals that they're going to want to give away are in the game.
This is true.
I don't know. Shiny Volcanion's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, Volcanion's there. That's kind of cool. You don't have the coolest one, which is Darkrai, which is still confusing to me because that is the only mythical in there that doesn't have multiple forms.
Is it that cool, though? Shiny was available in Go.
I don't care about the shiny. I care about Darkrai. I'm not talking about giving away shinies. I'm just talking about giving away the Pokemon themselves, because the last time there was a Darkrai giveaway, I believe, was at the 20th anniversary.
Probably, though. Now
let me let me check this.
Now with Go Transfer, it's really weird. But
well, you can't transfer it to Go anyway. From Go anyway. So.
Well, I feel like this is part of like the whole thing with why people are buying into. And this is why Centro is probably very confident making this prediction. Is like if we look at like a lot of the little bits of and pieces of things. Like we always talk about like what Pokemon are missing from the game right now, and Gen 4 has some inexplicable absences, namely Darkrai and the fossils. And you're just like, why are you missing?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I still say that it's more likely than not that this is happening.
Yes.
I would definitely hedge my bets as well. Like, I'm over 50%, but I'm like 55%, right? Mostly because my trust in patterns in the Pokemon company has been completely destroyed. I that's how I feel. I still think, like, if they were going to do Diamond and Pearl remakes, to really wring me dry of all my money, if you want to make this year great, you do, like, more DLC for Sword and Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Just like keep that going. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then you drop Diamond and Pearl at the end of the year. And then in 2022, you drop Diamond and Pearl remake DLC.
So I'll be curious about that. That's the thing I'm curious about most is I can see them continuing on the DLC path with Sword and Shield because that's kind of like their flagship Pokemon game for Switch, and it's going to stay that way. But Diamond and Pearl, it seemed more or less to be like a one and done, like the base game is the whole game kind of situation. I don't know that I buy into a DLC for a remake yet.
Honestly, I think there's DLC one way or the other. The question is, does it come for Sword and Shield or does it come for Diamond and Pearl remakes? Because I could see them just like pushing Diamond and Pearl remakes this year and like that's the game we get. I'm hoping it's not a November release and we could talk about that.
I guess that's part of the 25th anniversary that we haven't talked about, that they're going to do it month by month starting in March, going backwards from Galar.
Well, okay, is that just for the TCG, though? Because from my understanding, it's just the TCG.
Their website for the 25th anniversary says that that's their goal, is to highlight one region per month. So we just can assume from the TCG schedule that that's how it's going to work as well. Because all we know on their website is that Galar is first.
I mean, I would be really hype if they just, like, shadow dropped us a new DLC or something.
That'd be cool. I mean, but I don't... Yeah, there's no good month I see for that because, what is it, Snap comes out, you know, very April. Like, the last day of April. And then if we're talking, like, an October or November release for a remake, if that were to happen, because that's the most likely timeline, there's... I mean, when would they throw DLC out? Like, July-ish, if that was to happen?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
I mean, I'm all for it. I don't see it happening, but I'm all for it.
I don't think they're going to cannibalize each other, and I don't think Pokemon views it as such.
No.
They see it as cannibalizing their own sales or anything. Because they are a corporation, their job is to get as much money out of my pocket as possible. And I can see them trying to come up with several avenues, because, I mean, they're already coming out with several games this year, probably, right? We've got Snap already confirmed. We probably got Detective Pikachu probably. 2 coming, unfortunately.
Is Unite going to be free to play, or is that
Unite is free to play?
Okay, not money then.
It's League of Legends. It's League of Legends.
Well, I don't play League of Legends.
You can pay
either.
For skins, probably. You could probably get skins.
We know there's skins. We've seen the skins. You probably buy the characters too when they're not in rotation, and you can like that. That's how they're going to monetize it. It's fine.
Yep.
And trainer customization. Like they have they have their avenues for they have their avenues to make money on that. Like they'll
I think it's just. The idea of coming out with something and thinking, oh, it's going to cannibalize it is dumb. I think, because I honestly think they'll do some kind of like retro game pack of some sort, since that seems to be Nintendo's hot thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer that over DLC.
Buy Shadow Dragon for Switch, which is terrible, by the way. Just buy Shadow Dragon for the DS or something. It's way better.
I mean, you can't find it anywhere. That's part of the problem.
You can buy it on the Wii U eShop.
You can.
Buy a Wii U. The Wii U is really good for retro games. That is what the Wii U is good for.
It is. Especially GBA games.
Man, I miss like traditional virtual console. I miss it.
Give us GBA games, Nintendo, on the Switch.
And that's all. That's... Yeah. Well, no, I'll pay extra for something like Pokemon, right? If they dropped gens 1 through 3,
they
I would buy
us
it.
They charge us for Pokemon. Let's not kid ourselves.
I would pay $60.
Yeah, that would be a good mid-year release.
I would kind of hope that it would be more immediate, like a March release or something like that.
I mean, but then that starts to clash with Snap a little bit because Snap's playing off of nostalgia.
Yeah, you just really ram the nostalgia. That's the 25th anniversary. They're going to ram nostalgia down our throat, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I see him spreading it out like in more months of the year rather than hitting us hard right off the bat and then going quiet for a bit.
I mean, they could do like one thing a month. I think they have enough garbage that they can shovel out. I'll be completely honest. I mean, one thing they could do is they could decide to split it up as well.
It depends on if it's a package.
It could be like, hey, Gen 1 comes out in March. Hey, Gen 2 comes out in April. Stuff like that.
And you can buy like a bundle pack and get them all together as they release kind of situation.
Yeah. That's kind of how I see it. And honestly, if they really wanted to do it, you could just sell them for like $10 a piece, right? Mm-hmm. Or then you could have two bundle versions, right? You could be like, this is the red bundle and this is the blue bundle. And that way you just contain one version of each game in it. And so you're still forced to trade.
The yellow bundle.
Here's the yellow bundle. Oh God, the yellow bundle. No, thank you.
What? Yeah, but that's the one everyone would get.
That'll be like the fourth or fifth time I've bought those games at this point.
Because Crystal and Emerald are just that good. Like, who cares?
Emerald would be worth it. Or Crystal and Emerald would be worth it. I do not disagree with you.
Like, yellow is okay, whatever. But
I would love to have Emerald and like Heart Gold Soul Silver to play. Those would be the ones I'd want to play. Just to have like,
I don't
experience.
Know that Heart Gold Soul Silver. I don't know if DS games are going to come. I just don't think they translate well to Switch.
I feel like Emerald's the most logical thing I would want to be able to play right now.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because I don't know if I don't think we're ever going to get the Battle Frontier again. So I really like to play through that.
Man, I really liked what they were doing in Sword and Shield with the DLC because we were kind of getting different battle facilities.
Mm hmm.
Each like Base Wish has your battle tower, and then you've got the battle sparring in the Isle of Armor, which is essentially a Battle Frontier facility.
Yeah, that one's a cool one. I enjoy.
And
that.
Then you've got the Galar Star Tournament, which is again essentially a Battle Frontier facility.
It's slightly more trash.
It is a little bit worse than I think the Isle of Armor one.
Yeah.
The only thing they're missing literally is just like here's a little badge for completing it. That's all they're missing. But they're kind of there. Like, I'm in the camp where I would like to see another round of DLC, like another DLC pack for Swish. One, so you could just finish out the decks, you're done. I do agree with Joe Merrick. Joe Merrick is of the mind that by the end of Generation 8, all of the Pokemon will be back.
Yeah, I agree.
And obtainable in one game. And I absolutely agree with that. Or at least that's how it should happen. I think it's a good way to put it in Swish. And I don't know, do they want to make Swish the flagship game and keep pushing for Swish at IRL tournaments? Or are they going to force us to convert over to Diamond and Pearl remakes for another year? Which I think is just as reasonable.
Yeah, at this point, I don't know. I think it'll depend on whatever the battle rules are after this next season, right? Because we're expecting ban list again, right? But it's like, do we go to GS Cup and then we go to DP?
It's not going
to
be GS Cup. I honestly think the GS Cup hype is coming from a lot of VGC YouTubers. Mm-hmm. That are trying to do predictions. And honestly, I would say this is a hot take of just like the Pokemon community for myself. I would say a lot of the traditional PokeTubers are gone, minus like Birdkeeper Toby.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the PokeTubers that are left are all very good at battling. Like I'll say they're very good at battling, but I don't know how good they are at following the news or anything.
Yeah.
I would listen to Joe Merrick about that before I would listen to like Wolf Glick.
But like with Generation 8, you wouldn't need to have a specific game to play online. Like it could be either game the way they've been adding Pokemon.
That's kind of what I'm hoping.
It depends on if the mechanics are the same though.
Yeah.
Like if they replaced Dynamax with Mega in like Diamond and Pearl remake, right?
Yeah.
Then you'd have to play Diamond and Pearl and that's what they'd go to. Like if that's what they did.
So I could see Mega Evolution coming to Sword and Shield as well.
Yeah. I don't see it.
If that were the case.
I think they've been very careful not to be restrictive of what Pokemon are in what versions of the game so far. So if they were to implement Megas, I feel like they would just have a little like an NPC you could go buy them from in Sword and Shield, and that's that. And that way everything is usable.
No, even then they could still force you to just like, you can only get access to them if you had the Diamond and Pearl remakes. Kind of like the same idea of you can only get access to these Pokemon in Sword and Shield other than transferring them in.
Mm-hmm.
By having Isle of Armor and stuff like that.
I mean, part of the idea behind Pokemon Home is that the games don't need to connect anymore, though, right? Like,
yeah,
that's the thing.
I would argue against that a little bit just because you don't have item transfers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's part of the deal. So you can't always have Custap Berry at the beginning of a Diamond Pearl meta, right?
I agree with you. I think that specifically for like the idea of Mega Evolution, like you can't trade Mega Stones that way, right? And so you're essentially locking certain forms to a certain place.
I mean,
yeah, and that's the point.
from an item standpoint, why wouldn't they just make it like a megastone going forward? I feel like that would be more easy to use.
A megastone, just like an individual megastone?
Because then you don't know what can mega evolve.
Like, why have all of the individual, like, that's like 60 items if they bring it back.
Okay, because the marble looks really cool, P-Mickey. That is the one answer. The marble looks really cool, and it's color-coded.
It requires the players to understand what Pokemon get megas to.
Also, I don't like, honestly, my answer to why that's a bad idea is Charizard.
That's true.
Because at that point, you could legitimately just be like, let's Mega Evolve Charizard, and then you get to choose which one you want to go into. Could you imagine having that as an option? That sounds spooky, man. We're already, Dynamax already got crushed in Smogon. Because it was just like too many choices. I think if you could just make Charizard go whichever Charizard form you want to go is a terrible idea.
This is probably accurate. I mean, given it should be obvious from Team Preview which one they would want, but I get your point.
I mean, that was the Let's Go meta too, so.
That was the Let's Go meta, that's true. But the Let's Go, okay, hot take, Let's Go meta was trash. But
there was a meta?
I mean, I don't disagree, it was trash.
It happened. No, it happened, P-Mickey. People played it.
People tried to make it happen.
People really tried to make it happen. There was a candy version and a not candy version, and
I don't like anything about what you're saying.
Mega Alakazam was very good.
Shocking. Shocking.
When we did the Puckle tournament, Kanto versus the world, I remember specifically talking to Gio, and he's like, I think I'm going to go Kanto. And I go, okay, then these are the Pokemon you should run. He's like, that's exactly what I was thinking. And I'm like, he's just like, those are all very good, though. And I'm just like, he's like, how did you know that? Like, right off the top of your head. And I'm just like, because those are the top Pokemon in the Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee meta. And I'm just like, literally just run the Pikachu, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee meta, and that's like the best of Kanto.
What were some of the other ones that were in there? I wish I had done that tournament. I forgot about it when it was happening. But I'm not surprised to hear Alakazam is really good. I figure.
I mean, well, because they ended up banning Melmetal, I believe. And so
Melmetal wasn't available. Shocking. So, yeah.
And so they Mewtwo and Mew and Melmetal all got banned, and so then everybody else was in, and it was just regular. I mean, you just choose those Pokemon, you've got the best of Kanto.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was weird.
It was like Rhydon.
I'm more upset that people have recently brought to my attention that game on the Switch had a 60-minute timer.
Oh my god. I forgot that got brought up recently. That's brutal.
It has a 60-minute timer, so I can't use the argument of, oh, it's Nintendo's fault. Nope. It's a Game Freak decision at this point.
That's their way of stopping Smogon on cart.
I don't know why they stopped it. I don't know why they would do that.
Because they really, really wanted to push their cart format, which is good on its own. You didn't need to like hinder another format. Like their cart format, like especially VGC, is actually really, really good. And the idea of rental teams makes it so accessible.
I think the idea of rental teams and the idea that their own ladder is that format is good enough. I think the biggest problem, and I will argue this to the day I die, is that if I had a friend that I was going through the game with as a child, like let's say I'm 10 years old, I'm playing Pokemon Sword and Shield, and my best friend is also playing Pokemon Sword and Shield, and we've got our teams, and we're just like, you know what, let's battle each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we would have a problem with our 6v6 6v6 match with our in-game teams getting the battle done within the timer limit.
Probably not, because it's just hyper
offense.
You do.
No, so I've talked to people who have tried this.
Okay.
And they've had issues. So it's legitimately an issue. In my mind, it's an issue. But I could always be wrong. I could always maybe be wrong. Day. Yeah, maybe one day. We'll see. All right. But yep, this is a good place to wrap it up. I think the 25th anniversary of Pokemon is going to be rather exciting. I'm more excited for the 26th, I think, just to see what's confirmed.
This is true.
Yeah. No, end of February is going to be exciting.
End of February will be exciting. I think that will be the next major news dump. So we've got like, what, 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We might get a little more inklings, like a little more like teases about Snap, just because we may not get like a focus piece at the 25th anniversary.
I'm kind of interested to see what they do with the musicians as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have, like, Katy Perry.
Well, it came out that there's, like, 11 artists on that track with 11 original songs. So, Katy Perry's the headliner, but I'm interested to see where that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested to see what she's going to do with that.
I am, too.
Like, they're hyping it up, and it's going to be for, like, one song called Electric or something, and it's going to be dumb.
I think she's an okay music artist, so I'm intrigued.
I'm surprised. It's, like, a bigger name than I expected. I'll say that much. It's a bigger name than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But on that note, I think this is a good place to stop. We're going to take a short break here, guys, and we're going to come right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you on the flip-flop.
Poke of the episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 346, Cradily, the Barnacle Pokemon.
It has short legs and can't walk very fast, but its neck and tentacles can extend to over 3 times their usual length to nab distant prey.
All right.
Can confirm, it does not walk very fast when it follows you in the game. It's very sad.
So Cradily's okay-ish. It's got a base speed of 43, so Trick Room, I guess. And then you've got a base HP of 86, okay. A base defense of 97, okay. Base special defense of 107, okay. Base special attack 81. Okay. Base attack 81. Okay. None about this is like screaming to me like exciting, right? But it's just like, yeah, it's probably bulky and a little bit annoying.
It's a unique typing. It's got like
It is rock grass. I do not know any other rock grass types. It also gets the ability suction cups, which you never use. Instead use storm drain. It's hidden ability. Because that's how you increase its special attack, and that's what I believe the Cradily. Oh, its shiny's not bad though either. It got worse though, like all shinies. But
a little sunburnt.
Sprite based shinies look so much more vibrant than when they get converted to 3D, and it makes me sad. It makes me sad. All right though, but let's go ahead and break down to this team that Sigma's got for BSS. I'll let you lead with your Cradily and whatever else you want to lead with it.
This week's a singles team. It is all Hoenn Pokemon, too, so fun times.
It's all I didn't notice that. Oh my gosh, you're right.
But anyways, we'll start off with Cradily holding that Power Herb with the Storm Drain ability. Max HP, max special attack, and a little point in defense there. Modest nature. We are running the Meteor Beam. Standard thing on fossils and Ultra Beasts nowadays.
Yes.
Energy Ball, Earth Power, and Recover.
I'm still really happy that Meteor Beam is a move, only because it allows other things to have Power Herb shenanigans that aren't named Arceus.
Yes.
Or Xerneas.
Yes, I'm down for this. I love running Nihiligo, so Cradily's also fun to see with the Meteor Beam.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes a lot of things viable.
Yeah.
Viable is not the word I would use, but it makes them fun.
Fair. Just wait for next week's team. Next week's team's really fun, but...
I don't want to look.
It doesn't have a Meteor Beam, I don't think, on it, though. It's a little sad. But anyways, our second member here is our Gardevoir with a Focus Sash and the Trace ability. Max HP, max special attack, quiet nature with Trick Room is our highlight force here. It lets Cradily kind of destroy things. Also another member of the team. Hypnosis, because you were a Gardevoir. Shadow Sneak and Misty Explosion.
I do like that Trick Room is viable in singles when you play BSS, as opposed to something like... Smogon OU?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Smogon OU, I think the most I've ever seen Trick Room use was like with Magearna.
Individual by itself to sweep.
But it's like, hey, this is this one Pokemon to let it sweep.
I mean, you'll see a hard Trick Room team every now and again with like Glastrier and Stakataka and Alola Marowak, but it's not very
good. I don't think that works as well in mm-hmm. OU, because those battles last longer.
Yeah.
It's legitimately the reason that I believe that Pokemon really pushes for VGC to be their format of choice, mostly because they don't want to do a 40-turn match, and they don't think that's reasonable for tournament play.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with them. Logistically, it's a nightmare.
I mean, on average, 40 turns. There are some 100-turn matches that we don't like
Seth.
About. Seth.
Seth. All right. But yes, continue. P. McKee, you go.
Yeah. This team, we have an additional member for the Trick Room version, which is Torkoal, holding a Choice Specs. Nearly max HP, 236, 252 special attack, and a little bit in special defense. Zero speed, zero attack. Eruption, because Eruption with Choice Specs is potent. Weather Ball, because once your HP is down a little bit, it's still good to have a good way to do damage. Solar Beam and Earth Power. So good coverage, hits lots of things very hard, and works really well in the Trick Room. But if you want to be outside the Trick Room, we've got a fun little Shift Tree with a Lumberry, Chlorophyll, 52 HP, max special attack, 204 speed, and a mild nature. Leaf Storm, Heat Wave, very common things for it to have. Much less common is Defog. It does a couple of things. It can clear some turn one hazards if someone puts up rocks, but also, and it pairs well with the Gardevoir, it can get a accuracy, or not accuracy, but the ability to hit your opponent a little easier. So when you defog
doesn't them, it get rid of screens now?
Them. It does get rid of screens, yeah.
And terrain, I think, now, too.
Yep, terrain as well.
Does it get rid of terrain, too?
Yep.
Wow, defog, you got buffed.
Yeah, that's why Feeny actually got hurt a little bit by defog this generation, because Feeny loses its Misty Terrain when it uses it.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay. Feeny was too good. Feeny was really good.
Feeny was really good. Feeny's still very, very good in VGC, but the defog Feenies of OU aren't as common. And then rounding it out with Shiftree is the great coverage move Dig. Nice way to stall out some Dynamax turns if you want to use it like that.
Also, it hits Nihiligo. It hits Nihiligo.
Ah.
That is why we run it.
Specifically for Nihiligo. So you'll have to be Nihiligo in the sun, and then you can get it with Dig. Although, I would be surprised if it stood in there and took the Dig. But I guess you can go Max Quake.
It doesn't know the Dig is coming. You're a special attacker.
Yeah.
You go big with it.
Yeah, you go big.
Yeah.
And then you click the ground move when it switched in on you. It's
That's
like,
true. Okay. So it's got some tech to it. And then Lumberry prevents you from getting T-waved or anything like that by, I don't know, can't be by Grimmsnarl, because Grimmsnarl can't do anything to you other than attack.
But you can get burned.
You can get burned, but you don't care all that much unless they have Nihiligo. Otherwise, Dig's pretty much useless.
So if you don't understand how to use strategy, we've got two more Pokemon that don't require any. They just hit hard. First is being Salamence, holding an expert belt. Moxie is its ability. So you can 252 attack, 252 speed, adamant Salamence with dual wing beat, earthquake, fire fang, and dragon dance. This is just Salamence. Salamence doing Salamence things. I don't know how else to describe that Pokemon. it is not doing anything terribly exciting other than being Salamence and just terrorizing. So you can steamroll. So you just lead it and you hope you knock out a couple things and you snowball.
Yep.
The other being Melodic with competitive and a life orb, with a crazy EV spread that I don't quite understand what the benchmarks are for.
I believe the speed is to outspeed base 100s at minus one when you click the max strike.
I believe that. 68 HP, 28 defense. Those numbers are there specifically for a reason. 252 special attack, 4 special defense, and 156 speed, like Sigma said. Modest nature, because you're going big with this boy, and you're going to Hydro Pump, Blizzard, Hyper Beam, and Iron Head. What a move set. What is the Iron Head for? What are you hitting with an Iron Head that you need physical Iron Head on a Melodic?
It's probably a mix between hitting Nihiligos and also buffing your defense stat.
Is Nihiligo that scary?
It steamrolls quickly with Meteor Beam.
I mean, it's an Ultra Beast.
Because it gets that one one speed, plus one special attack, and then if it goes big, it's just really hard to deal with because it sets rocks, and then you can't hit its special defense anymore.
Have we done Nihiligo as the Pokemon of the episode?
Yes, and it's been on multiple teams. It does good things.
Okay.
It's been very reliable.
I mean, how do I not remember this?
Like, it has Meteor Beam, it powers up its special attack and nukes something.
I believe it.
It can go big, set up Sandstorm, and buff its special. It's already super high special defense, even higher. Like, that's why you need physical attacks on your special attackers.
Yeah. It's stat distribution outside of
attack.
I
believe you.
Or defense is really good. Like, it's all 100s outside of defense.
Well, yeah, that's what Ultra Beasts are all about.
Mm-hmm.
They're about extremes. Like, if they're not named Celesteela.
Mm-hmm.
They're all about extremes. Celesteela is, I think, the most, like, middle ground Ultra Beast.
Yeah.
But the rest of them are just like, yeah, I have two good stats.
Nihiligos are really, really good except for defense. Like, everything else is over 100, including HP and special defense. Like, it's just the defense set that sucks. Everything else is scary because it doesn't care about
it. Well, yeah, because it took it to an extreme.
It took it to an extreme. It's like in the 40s. It's like Tangrowth, except defense.
Tangrowth is good. Tangrowth is a good boy, okay?
Until you ice him, and then Tangrowth is not so good.
All right, so if you want to use this team in VSS, you can grab it off our Discord server. You can also watch PMcGee and Cloud9 play with it later this week on the YouTube channel. All right. You can also catch our streams over there for the Nuzlocke and everything as well over on YouTube. All right. So with that said, we are going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time. Send in your emails.
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
And as always, we'll give the Green Taurus badge to anybody that really sparks a good discussion. Though I think at least one of the people that we've talked or reading today has already won it.
Yes.
But we got a lot of emails this week. This is going to be the week that we bring in the extended mailbag. Sigma said he's going to force me to. And we're going to make sure we read a bunch of those emails, get them put on YouTube for you guys all to listen to, because there were a lot of good email responses this week. And I really want to make sure that everybody else has a chance to read them. So let's go ahead and read these emails. So our first one this week is going to be from Eve. Last week we asked you guys on the podcast, where would you like to live and what kind of trainer class would you be? So let's see where Eve would like to live in the Pokemon world. Hey, beauties. For some nebulous odd reason, the appeal of living on a relaxed tropical island in the middle of nowhere away from everything is like super appealing to me right now. Isn't it always appealing, I feel like? So the place I would like to live in the Pokemon world, it would absolutely have to be Alola. And I would definitely be living in Koni-Koni because I would be Olivia's trophy wife. If that doesn't count as a class, first off, I guess I also answer the question you asked probably like years ago at this point about what job in the Pokemon world would be. And second, I guess I'd be a swimmer with one of the cute bikinis from Oras with the little bow. Hanging out on the beach with my beloved shiny Melodic sounds chill, and I do love swimming, like a lot. And as an added bonus, a couple of brunette sprites actually do look just a bit like me. For the full fantasy, though, I'd want a pied-à-terre. Wait, oh my gosh, I'm saying this wrong, and you two are not the people that will correct me. Pied-à-terre in Lumiose 2. Too bad there isn't a Pokemon World version of the Mediterranean yet. Let's keep that in mind. Because I'm obsessed, and it would be super high on my list of places to live. As would Southeast Asia and South Africa. Sidebar, the soundtrack for a game set in any of those places would be insane, I bet. Dedux, Spanish guitars, gamelan, sitars, kalimbas, love it. Much love, Eve. That was, that at the end, it was a bunch of words that you did not know how to read and pronounce properly.
I took French a lot in high school.
I did not learn French in high school. I learned German, so you sound like you're angry all the time. And I did not learn that. But thank you for that, Eve. The Mediterranean region would be kind of cool. I think that might happen. I don't know if we're ever going to get like a Greece, but that would be a really cool setting. Could you imagine something like, hey, this is like ancient Pokemon civilization stuff is around here. And that would be kind of cool.
I would like to go to a point where we're having multiple countries in a region. So
yeah,
I think they should. I think they should shove like multiple countries into one region. I agree with you.
I think that would be fun.
I think the Baltic region would be a really good place to do that.
Yeah, just like
because you have a bunch of those smaller countries, geographically smaller countries.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thanks for that, Eve. Really appreciated that. Our next one is going to be from Trainer Nova and P. McGee. I believe you've got this one.
I do. Hey, Puckle Crew. Trainer Unova here. While I don't have a particular place in the Pokemon world that I would like to live in, and I can't decide on one anyways, I did want to mention a very closely related topic, which is perhaps one of the most interesting cities in the Pokemon world. I'm GMing a vigilante superhero Pokemon role-playing campaign on a Discord server, and while deciding where to set the campaign, we were drawn to Driftvale City, Unova, for its port city warehouses. However, once I started playing the campaign, I was surprised by how much storytelling potential the city has to offer. It's a rough and tumble port city where people and commerce come and go. The presence of its mining industry also means not just an industrial vibe that I'm usually a sucker for, but also mazes of abandoned tunnels for adventures to explore. However, things are changing rapidly in the city, and it's found new attention in its mining boom and its hosting of the Pokemon World Tournament. Now, it's not just an industrial city, but a city with an opulent, emerald-roofed hotels and newfound wealth. Not to mention, it has a lot of cool places to set the scenes in. The vibrant gathering places like of the Driftvale Marketplace and the Pokemon World Tournament Stadium, the cold storage areas that could hide secrets, and of course, the Driftvale Drawbridge, where a high-stakes chase on lowering the rising bridge over waters would make for an amazing action scene. All of this results in a dynamic city that is full of gathering points, intrigue, and adventure. It's become a really fun world-building and headcanon-making exercise to take place in the Pokemon world, drawing from research of the New York, New Jersey area and draw my own experience living in the industrial city of Hamilton, Canada for a brief period of my life, and make it come to life in a role-playing story. I hope this email makes you appreciate this strange city as much as I have. Thank you for reading this weird email. Keeping awesome. Signing off, Trainer Nova. Driftvale City isn't a place I would have thought about a lot, but after her description, I am much more intrigued by it.
Yes.
So I have two comments about this. One, if you're running a superhero campaign in Driftvale City in a Pokemon world, Bryson Man better be your overarching villain. Yeah, an underutilized character in my opinion. Two, I think Driftvale, like, just the region of Unova is very odd to me for a lot of reasons, because unlike, say, like Hoenn and Kanto and Galar and Kalos, it's not based on an entire country or like an entire state, right? It's based on a city. Now, I would kind of argue that maybe Kanto is more based on just like the Tokyo area than Kanto itself, like the region of Kanto in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes it stranger in and of itself. I would also say that Kanto is not as geographically diverse as Unova is. There's no desert in Kanto, right? There's no yeah. snowing mountain in Kanto. It's just like, here's a lot of grass and a lot of roads for you to go travel on. Mm-hmm. And that's Kanto. So Kanto feels okay if I were to just be like, yeah, this is just like the greater Tokyo area. And for Unova, though, it feels very weird to be like, this is just New York City, right? Because you've got stuff like Driftvale where it's just like, it's a mining port town. And it's just like, I don't know where that would be in New York. I think same would go for pretty much all of the places there. Like, where's Pinwheel Forest in New York? Maybe Central Park, but that's not close enough to... They tried to do a Central Park type deal in Castalia City, which is trying to be Manhattan. And
yeah, where the Eevees are.
Then you've got the desert where a certain pair of buildings used to be, which is... I don't know if that was done on purpose, but it's... It's an interesting idea. It's just weird in Unova to be like, this place is so diverse and has quote unquote so much nature for it to be New York City.
Yeah, yeah.
Because New York City isn't what I would be like. Yes, I can't wait to go through and hike this path in New York City.
I want to go to the swamp of New York City.
Yeah, the swamp of New York City. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like, that's not. I don't know. The whole region's weird to me in that sense. Like, outside of Castalia City, I think Unova in general confuses me.
Yeah, that's fair.
When trying to think of its source material. I could be wrong. And I mean, I think she's absolutely correct in saying that it's a good place to do her GMing. I think it's a really cool concept. I still hope she does Bryson Man as the overarching villain. All right, we've got one more email today, and it's going to be from Tia.
Hi, Puckle Biggs. It's Tia again. First, I would like to say that I was super excited that an email I sent in inspired the main topic for an entire episode. As for where I want to live in the Pokemon world, I would like to live in Sootopolis City. It's the Pokemon equivalent of Atlantis, and being surrounded by fresh water and air would be amazing. For my Pokemon class and origins, I would probably be a Hex Maniac from Pacifidlog Town. Yeah. Pacifidlog Town is great.
Pacifidlog Town is the greatest, okay?
It's it is. I agree. Except for that person who tells you if Mirage Island is there, because that person's awful.
Actually, keep reading. Keep reading. You're going to lose your mind.
Oh, no. I'm going to be a lunatic who laughs at crystal balls predicting the next time Mirage Island shows up. I never found Mirage Island just
I never
just
did either.
In OG, I think I don't know if I ever did it.
I never had it in original. Never. Never got those lychee berries.
I'm curious now what the Mirage Island chance in Ruby and Sapphire is in Gen 3.
It's gotta be
keep going now.
That's where I would get my affinity for water and diving, which will one day be the main reason why I even make it to Sootopolis without drowning. Oh, and my Slowbro will help too. Actually, come to think, will a city underwater even get Wi-Fi and 5G? Does the trash and litter people throw in the oceans end up in Sootopolis? Thinking about moving again, Tia.
So, Sootopolis isn't underwater. I'd like to make that clear. Sootopolis is not underwater.
The entrance is underwater.
The entrance is underwater, at least the way you get to it in the game. I'm sure there's like a not underwater entrance to it, but Sutopolis City is not underwater. It is above water. It's just inside the crater of a volcano, an inactive volcano. So that's just something to consider. Just throwing that out there. However, the Mirage Island thing, I did look it up. So the way Mirage Island in Gen 3 is calculated is stupid, crazy stupid. So every day, a random number between 0 and 65,535 is generated by the game. If this number matches the first two bytes of the personality value of any Pokemon in the player's party, then Mirage Island will appear.
I don't like this.
Well, so consequently, Mirage Island can be made to disappear and reappear for that day by removing and putting back the matching Pokemon in the party. And Mirage Island will disappear at the end of the day, barring the unlikely outcome of two matching numbers being generated in a row. This makes Mirage Island's appearance even rarer than encountering a shiny Pokemon. Although the probability increases with the number of Pokemon the player has. So the odds of you talking to them and activating it is 1 in 65,536. But if you have five Pokemon in your party with different personality values, mind you, this increases to 1 in 10,923 with your full party.
You can't see your personality values, can you?
You cannot, no.
Yeah, so like you wouldn't even know.
So you could theoretically game it and just keep swapping Pokemon in and out of your party and like talking to him. It's not that exciting anyway, because you can only get your Lychee Berry there. You can get your Lychee Berry, and you can battle a bunch of wild Why Not.
It's one of those things you just want to have happen to you once. Like, there was in Black and White 2, yes. I never got the Wailord in that water tunnel. I never saw it. I always wanted to see the Wailord. So it's just one of those things I wanted to experience and never got to.
I don't know. Like, I miss things like that, where it was just like, there's this insanely rare chance for this thing to happen.
Yeah.
And I really, 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 really miss that in Pokemon games. I mean, I understand why they don't, but just thinking about being a kid back in the day, I would really like to see it. On a complete aside, I was watching the Honest Game Reviews of these last night. I was just cleaning up my 3D printing stations, and I was watching it, and they did the Ruby and Sapphire one, and they compared Ruby and Sapphire to the Tokyo Drift of Pokemon, and I absolutely agree. So just throwing that out there. It's a really bad joke, and I threw it in with no setup whatsoever. But
I get the analogy.
I like the analogy. I really like the analogy. It is the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift of the Pokemon franchise, because it has none of the original characters, and and is not connected whatsoever to the previous one. So it's pretty funny. I like it. I like it a lot. All right, so. That is going to be it for the mailbag today. Who do you think should get it? I believe Tia already has the Green Taurus badge.
We have three people with the badge. Tia is one of them.
Yes. So either we do Trainer Nova or Eve. You like Nova.
I did not expect to think about Drift Vale today. Yeah. I'd be okay with
it. It was very descriptive imagery of Drift Vale that makes me actually want to go back to the city, which is hard to do because I didn't really get that excited the first time through. So kudos to her.
All right. Trainer Nova, you get it. You get the thingamajigger, the Green Taurus badge. And if you guys want to keep up with us throughout the week, you can do so in a lot of different ways. First and foremost being, come to our Discord server. That's a great way to do it. If you want more Puckle episodes throughout your week, you should check out Puckle Plus, where we do a new show every Thursday of some sort, whether it be a trivia rewind where you can revisit some of Puckle's older trivia questions, or Game Corner, where we talk about new trivia. You could even check out Battlecast and TCGcast as well over there. So I definitely recommend you do it. You can also follow us on social media to maybe get some more points to win a free copy of Pokemon Snap over at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and what's that other one that we always do? Tumblr. And you can also go ahead and help watch some more content over on YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast. Watch a few of us on Twitch over at twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. And of course, you can help support the show by buying a shirt over at TeePublic, dropping a subscription over at Twitch, or you can even just support us over on Patreon at patreon.com. We do have shiny Pokemon giveaways coming your way, so keep a lookout for that in the next couple of days. Other than that, though, I have been your host, Trainer Thatch.
I've been Art Sigma.
And I have been PMD.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
flip
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.